Well, everyone, it's been a year since Starfield launched, and a lot has changed, quite demonstrably so. As you can see, we have all sorts of new things like added mods, quest lines that have been added, rovers that have been added, though specifically just one that does have a gun I didn't realize before. You can shoot a little like mounted gun on top with it, which is a thing that is there. And I wanted to do a little check-in on the game and just see how she doing, because we've made a lot of Starfield content here. There's no doubt about that. Some people think that we're beating a dead horse. Other people think I'm secretly obsessed, which is perhaps mostly true. But all I know is that I like talking about Starfield. I find it fascinating as a phenomenon and as an event in the world of gaming and in Todd Howard's career. I think it's just captivating in the purest sense of the word. So we're going to talk about it, run through some stuff here in this video. Of course, make sure to like the video. I know every YouTuber says that, but it actually does help the algorithm and everything like that. So do that, and I'm sure Todd will smile upon you with many wishes and sweet, sweet little lies. Beyond that, also make sure to subscribe, because once again, that is one of the few ways we can keep our Todd and Savior happy. So do that, and he will bestow blessings upon you. Praise be to Todd. I really hope he sees one of these videos one day, because like all of this is just kind of an attempt to freak him out the one day he happens to see one of these videos. And I mean, I know I would be weirded out if somebody were lighting a patron saint candle that had my face on it. So I just think it's funny, so I'm gonna keep doing it. Oh yeah, also shout out to Weta Workshop and Focus Entertainment for sending me over this 1/6 scale Titus statue of him stomping on a I forget the name of it, but it's a Tyranid whatever brute. It's freaking awesome. It's killer. The box is ridiculously huge too. Like, look at this. It's outrageous. I bet some of you are thinking, what's on the other side of the camera, like just outside of view? If you want to know, come over to my live streams, Luke Stevens Live, second channel here on YouTube. I show that area of the studio often. So you could be one of the people that finds out how cluttered this room actually is. And of course, a huge thank you to our sponsor, Incogni. Incogni is a service that actually helps you remove all of your personal information from data brokers and other nefarious sites across the internet. I'm sure we've all run into this, where you go onto a website to investigate, like I did once, a new healthcare plan. You put in your phone number and your email address, and the next day you're getting dozens of phone calls and text messages and emails from all different companies that somehow got access to your info, because the first person you gave it to sold it to everybody else. And before you know it, all of your information is being spread around like it's nothing. And there are ways to deal with it. You can manually put in requests, but it can take dozens upon dozens upon dozens of hours. And beyond that, you have to know where to start, which I don't know about you, I don't. And that's why it's so nice to have a service like Incogni that can just knock it all out through automated systems, so you don't have to think about it. In fact, just since I signed up for Incogni, I've actually had 584 requests sent to different companies that were holding my information. There's still 73 in progress that they're automatically following up on and sending further takedown requests. And they've succeeded in 509 of those requests, where they've actually had my information stripped from these online data brokers. And because it's automated, I don't have to keep up on it. They will automatically, every month or 2 months or 3 months, send a follow-up email, a further takedown request, just in case they got my information again from somewhere else. So again, you just don't have to think about it. And it matters not just for the obvious reasons, such as scams, identity theft, and safety concerns, but also because data brokers are selling your information to everybody, whether it's an insurance company for your car or even health insurance. They can actually use your online activity or information about you that's found through these data brokers to jack up the prices and charge you more for regular insurance that you wouldn't think would have anything to do with this stuff. The point is, your information and data is one of the most important things that you can take care of in the modern age. And to do that, you should check out Incogni with the link
below.
And make sure to use my promo code LukeStevens at checkout to save 60% off of an annual plan. I highly recommend it. I'm using it every day of my life, even though I don't have to do anything to use it. And I couldn't recommend it more. So again, check them out at the link below. Now, setting all of that aside, since the launch of Starfield, we have had a number of pretty big events in the world of Bethesda Game Studios and also games roughly similar to Starfield. Of course, recently we had the launch of Star Wars Outlaws, which many people found to be a decent enough Star Wars romp in the hay, but if you're looking for anything really meaty, there's just not a whole lot of that meat on the bone. And I think comparing it to Starfield specifically, there's actually a few points I want to put in Starfield's favor where I think Starfield has actually aged better. First and foremost would of course be the like actual space flight. I think Starfield actually did a really good job of nailing this element of the game. You know, even though it's not used that often, I love the idea of having to reroute power to do different things. You want to go faster, you got to crank more energy into your engines. If you aren't really worried about enemies coming in, you take away from the shield. Maybe you want to like jump faster to different planets or areas. You can just improve the grav drive, all sorts of stuff like that. I think it's really, really interesting and clever. And I think the ship customization, I've defended it since before the game even launched. I think the ship customization is awesome. I love it. I hope this comes to future games like the Elder Scrolls 6, where maybe you have an actual like, I don't even know, like pirate ship kind of thing where you can customize the layout and stuff. I think that'd be awesome. I love these systems. So well done, Bethesda, on that. The scope and scale of Starfield is also just as impressive as it ever has been. There's no doubt they were trying to do a whole lot here. If anything, the most common complaint about Starfield is that they were trying to do too much. Some of the other things they've improved since launch as well would be something like surface maps. So in cities, you can actually see a city map, a map of the city, which I know if you're like, if you didn't play the game back at launch, that might be like, what are you talking about? It's because Starfield, when it launched, didn't have maps for cities or big points of interest or locations like that. You just had like some blue dots spread out and that was about it. Nothing more than that. But now we have actual maps so you can see how the city is laid out. You can check this out and there's some mods that make it even more readable because each of these little areas are separated by little load screens you have to run around to. So it can make it a little frustrating to figure out at first, but this is at least an improvement. They actually did add something people wanted. Another thing they added that people wanted, I can show you by just selecting a spot, a deciduous forest. And then we pop over here, we load, which is still here in the game, mind you. But once we've loaded in, we will land our ship and spawning right next to it is their most recent addition to the game. Voila, this thing. We hop in and boom, we have rovers in the game now. Now they don't like really do a whole lot that's amazing. You know, there's still lots of pop in and stuff as we drive. You can tell the game wasn't originally designed for this to be in the game. Todd Howard notably talked in multiple interviews about how like adventuring and exploration in Starfield. Look at that. Jesus, what is happening with that popping? God. Anyway, Todd said multiple times that they designed exploration to be primarily on foot, just like all their other games, and they did not intend for there to be any vehicles, which is why he shot down the notion of it in pre-launch interviews and even interviews shortly after launch. And if you want to see those, I've cataloged them in my big 8-hour like critique breakdown of Starfield, because yes, when I said I talked about this game a lot, I was not lying. I'll have that linked below if you have 8 hours to burn and you don't care that much about your mental health. In that video, I broke it down showing how, like, seriously, what is going on with that? How Todd didn't initially want to add these, at least that's what he communicated to people. This has to be some sort of bug, right? Like that is not normal. Look at that popping. Jesus Christ. Look at those things. Those are supposed to be trees. But you know what? Credit where credit is due. They did add a rover, which answers one of the chief complaints people had about Starfield, which was that when you're on a planet's surface and you have points of interest to explore, there's like 4, 5, 6 minutes of running, just doing nothing else but running between each of those points of interest to get around to those POIs. And beyond that, there really is not anything interesting to do. So they added a rover that allows you to quickly drive between points of interest, which is better. I will give them that. It doesn't change the fact that there's a lot of empty, boring space between those points of interest, but it makes it less painful and miserable to get through. So I do consider this to be an improvement, though it doesn't fix the core issue, you know? Now, one of the other things they've added are further paid mods, which is the old name for creations, which is what they're called now. But basically, these are mods that are created both by like officially sanctioned Bethesda, like approved modders. And then my interpretation of the rules is that other people can apply and get accepted, though they're not really supervised. And then also Bethesda official mods, which are also known as like microtransactions or like micro DLC, whatever you want to call them. Basically, they are little packages of quests that Bethesda will sell to you for, in this case, $7. And these quests can be anywhere from like 20 minutes long to maybe 30 to 45 minutes long. Usually there's one encounter, one big combat encounter or something, maybe two if you're really lucky. And then you get some unique weapon or armor set as a reward for completing that. Now, Todd did go on YouTube and do some interviews after the launch of Starfield. One recent one, he went on Mr. Matty Plays YouTube channel and talked with him about this, because at the time of that interview, there was a lot of discussion over this brand new, at the time, Trackers Alliance mod, which was very expensive. And at the time that it launched, the rifle you got for completing that quest was broken. So this rifle you would get as reward, you could fire the four rounds in the clip, but beyond that, you could never reload it. It didn't matter how much ammunition you had. If you reloaded whatever, you just could never reload the gun, which is hilarious. And when asked about this, Todd said that these quests were originally designed as sort of a more interesting way of rewarding players with cool weapons and stuff. It was originally built around these weapons, and then they decided to turn it into a quest because they thought that was more interesting than just selling a weapon to people, which makes it all the more hilarious that the weapon was broken. Like, apparently they had the weapon, wanted to sell it to people, but they didn't even have it working in the game. However, in the game now, because I am a masochist and bought that quest for a previous video, you can fire the rifle at various wildlife. It works. And then when you're done, Let's test it. R for reload. Oh my God, I'm not making this up. I'm tapping R. Zoom in, enhance, Jacob. That is the R key, right? Confirmed? R. Dude, you cannot make this up. Oh my God, we live in a simulation. There is no way this is real. This is unbelievable. This was $7, by the way, $7. It worked in a previous video and now it's broken again. They rebroke it. God damn it, Todd, what are you doing? Yeah, even just trying to fire it again doesn't do it. Scoping doesn't do it. Okay, the weapons just not working. Oh wait, did it work when I zoomed out? Okay, I went to third person and it lets me reload, but in first person, I can't reload. Okay. Someone way smarter than me is gonna need to explain why I can reload in third person, but not first person. Also, what is going on with that? And then look at that. Okay. I swear to God, I don't try to do this, guys. Like, my whole thesis for this video was like, let's go back into Starfield and I'm going to compliment it for doing all these things better than Star Wars Outlaws, for better like spaceship customization, for the scope and scale and how they've added all these features people want. I was really looking forward to making a positive, uplifting, like, good job BGS, you've really taken steps kind of video. And then like we just played the game and we run into issues like this all over again, and it just never ends. And then what are those trees? Like, what is that low poly version? Like, the game, all my graphics drivers are updated. I literally did it just before this video, so I don't know what's happening anymore. I stopped the planet. I want to get off. Okay, let's just try a new ship in a new landing zone. Let's just go for it. I previously in another video tried buying a bunch of mods that they were selling to see if they made the game a lot better, which is why my ship looks the way that it does, because we bought all of the habs and stuff just to see how they would alter the game and the ship in general. And so that's why that looks that way. Yeah, dude, again, it's just even now after like fast traveling a bunch, reloading in first person doesn't work. Third person, I can reload. It's so stupid, man. I cannot believe it. This was $7 months ago. I can't. Oh my God. But okay, let's set all of that aside and let's just look at what most people are going to be doing when they play the game. They're going to be going to points of interest, areas like this, and they're going to get into combat with humanoid enemies, usually of varying skills and strength levels. And as you can see, I have plenty of emergency kits for the purpose of filming this video, so we are good to go. There's a guy behind me. I'm very situationally aware. And you know what? I will give Starfield this. They've made some improvements to AI, as far as I can tell. They get behind cover, and this is something that they frankly do way better than, like, for example, Star Wars Outlaws, which had some unbelievably bad AI. So I will give them that. I do think they've made lots of improvements there. And, you know, it's inconsistent. Sometimes it doesn't work that great. Other times it works really well. Other times, you know, the AI is also broken in Starfield. But at least when it's working properly, it's really good, or at least much, much better than it was at launch. Whereas something like Star Wars Outlaws, it just never really works well. Maybe they'll eventually update it and get it working better, but as of right now, it's just not that great. I will also give them credit on this. I think that the game actually has pretty decent enough gunplay for a game like this. You know, of course, it's not going to be on the level of like Call of Duty or anything like that, or hyper realistic like a Tarkov or something. But for what it is, I actually think it works pretty well, especially when you factor in like weapon customization and stuff like that. I'm actually pretty impressed. I should have healed. I wasn't paying that much attention. That's my bad. But you know what? As I've reflected a lot on Starfield, I've made more content, I think, in terms of quantity on this game than probably any other major YouTuber. It feels weird to consider myself a major YouTuber, but I think in terms of like channel size, I probably would be considered like mid-size, but not a lot of big YouTubers were really talking about Starfield at all after it launched. So I'm probably one of the more like frequent discussers of this game, I would say. And I've given them a lot of time and energy, I would say. But I've thought about it a lot, and I've really tried to ponder and be fair about Starfield as best I could, because I do like the premise. I love the concept of Starfield, as did I think a lot of other people, which is why so many people were excited at the idea of Starfield. But I think that that is why the game also frustrated so many people, and that's because the promise and the idea was very, very exciting, but the execution just wasn't quite there. And there were many, many shortcomings along the way. And that's why a lot of like Bethesda fans, for example, have told me, no, Luke, Starfield's really, really fun. You just kind of have to turn your brain off to a couple pieces of it. You got to ignore, you know, the kind of boring exploration when you're just out running around. That is a weak point. And as long as you can just turn your brain off to it, you'll actually have a really, really good time. Or you just have to turn your brain off to the kind of crappy writing and how the story is really forgettable and uninteresting and how the companions don't have much personality. Maybe install some mods. You can have a lot of fun there and, you know, you'll have fun that way. But just turn your brain off to these various parts and you can have a good time. And I actually think that they're right. You know, maybe that's unreasonable of me to give them that sort of credit, but I do think they're right that if you turn your brain off to some of the shortcomings, you can actually have a good time. You know, the way a friend of mine a long time ago described it was flipping the stupid switch. He's like, you just gotta flip the stupid switch and life becomes a lot easier. In that context, though, he wasn't talking about playing a video game. He was talking about becoming a Navy SEAL. He was he was pursuing that, and he just said, oh yeah, training and the tests and stuff were actually pretty easy once you flip the stupid switch. Turn your brain off, act like a robot. Life becomes way easier and you can do really hard things you didn't think you could do before. You just flip the stupid switch, which apparently I mentioned it to my dad as well, who is a Marine. And apparently that's just something that they teach you in the military, is to flip the stupid switch, turn your brain off, and then you can have a much easier time with very, very difficult tasks. And I guess maybe it's telling that I consider playing Starfield to be a similar in a similar category as that, which is unbelievable. But that's what I'm running with. This is the danger of me making these kinds of videos, is that I just kind of release my consciousness and it just flows forth, fluming down a river of my own making, and I bequeath it to you, the audience. And sometimes it makes sense, other times it doesn't. And this might be one of those times. Man, I gotta wait for this not to bounce and then I can hit my targets. Jeez. The point is, I think Starfield, as with many, many games, like a Star Wars Outlaws, for example, if you turn your brain off to the shortcomings, you can have a much better time than if you are actively aware of it. And just this past week or so, I was out at an event for Dragon Age: The Veilguard, where I got to meet with a bunch of amazing creators and then, you know, the team at BioWare, of course. And I will be able to talk about my impressions of Dragon Age because I got to play a lot of it, but I can only talk about that on like the 19th of this month. So make sure to subscribe to find out when that video goes up. Just a little plug there. But the reason I bring it up is because at that event, I talked to a bunch of creators. Some you know, some you might not. A lot of streamers and stuff. But a lot of them, they were like, yeah, I don't really like to look at games or try to review them because I feel like it can suck some of the fun away. Which I thought was kind of an interesting thing because we were all sharing kind of what we do. Some of them were saying, oh, I'm a streamer. I just buy the game that's big and I play it and I don't think about it too much. You know, I don't even necessarily have to like it as long as the chat likes it. You know, it's standard things you might expect from like a Let's Playing streamer or something. And among them, they were describing how they don't try to like critically evaluate the games they're playing because they feel like that makes them aware of problems. And that can make the game less fun because once they're aware of a problem, they can't really unsee it. So they just kind of flip the stupid switch and stop thinking about it because it makes the game better. And I actually think that that is true for most players. I think, you know, if you can flip the stupid switch and just think about things uncritically, you can have a much better time with games. My problem with that way of thinking, though, is I think it makes you prone to getting conned. And I think that that's what you've seen with many previous examples, even some recent examples like a Concord. Many games similar to Concord end up launching and they don't get full refunds. They just launch for $40 to $60 and then they take your money. Even after the game is dead and is clearly not going to be successful, they just kind of take the money they got from you and move on, even though they didn't really fulfill on the long-term vision that they had previously established. Think of like Suicide Squad. And with those types of games, the reason why I try to evaluate them critically in these videos and on stream is because I think if you look at most of these games, especially before they launch critically, you can avoid falling into those pitfalls and traps, and you can avoid getting conned and losing your money, your time, your effort. And that's why I think it's important to think about those games critically. Because guess what? Really good games can withstand criticism. Really good games and well-made games can hold up to critical evaluation and be okay. It's only games that have severe issues that are afraid of critical evaluation, which I think is something really important to remember, because you don't ever hear like the team at Larian, for example, behind Baldur's Gate 3, or even, you know, studios like CDPR. You don't hear them asking people to not really think about it too much, just to enjoy the game, you know. Maybe don't try to pick it apart as much. Just, you know, lay back and enjoy the ride. You know, they're like, sure, give us feedback, break it down. I did a critique of Kingdom Come Deliverance, for example, like a year or two ago, and the developers of Kingdom Come not just retweeted my video, which had some pointed critiques. You know, I think the game is really clunky. It's one of my favorites and one of the most immersive games I've ever played in my life. But I had some critiques because I do think there's problems. And they retweeted it and they DM'd me, members of their team, and said that they were sharing it around the studio. Like, various gameplay designers, various engineers within the team were watching some YouTuber's video critiquing their game so that they could understand what those frustrations were and improve on it in Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, which would eventually be announced. That is how you get really good games made, when you are willing to listen to the feedback and grow from it. And that's why, frankly, I'm not going to apologize for like critiquing a game like Starfield or holding its feet to the fire. Todd Howard is a veteran of the industry who's worked in it for decades and decades, as I outlined in my 8-hour video again, which I'll have linked below. And so are most of the people at Bethesda Game Studios. They have made some amazing games, games like Skyrim, games like the original Fallout 3 that kicked off the modern popularity of Fallout, or, you know, even other games like Fallout 4, which maybe not as like fan beloved as the previous games, but still huge financial and commercial success stories. And the point of me bringing that up is that these are like veterans of the industry. They are big boys and girls. Like, they can listen to the feedback and it won't destroy them, or at least it shouldn't. I don't think coddling everybody and pretending as though everything is sunshine and rainbows actually leads to a better games industry. I think you need to be able to fairly critique it and point out what they did well and what they did badly. I think something like Starfield is really remarkable because they have made changes to their approach. They have done things with Starfield in the last year that they didn't initially plan on doing, like the rover, based on feedback from players like me, like you, that voice those frustrations in the comment sections, in their Steam reviews. They listened to that and grew from it. And that, I think, deserves commendation. I think that is great to see, and it makes me hopeful for the Shattered Space DLC that's coming in just a matter of weeks. So I will say I got a little sidetracked in terms of topic for this video, but I think it all ties back into the core discussion at the heart of Starfield, which is giving them tough love, some hard to hear critiques and criticisms, and hopefully they can grow from it and become a bigger and better studio, and maybe become the Bethesda Game Studios that we all know and love and appreciate from years ago. I still think they are very capable of making great games. I just think that they need to raise their standards, and I think they need to listen to critical feedback instead of just catering to the most diehard fanboys. Like, I understand that might be comfortable, that might be easy, but they need to listen to the critical feedback so that they can grow and learn. Be like the team over at Warhorse Studios, the guys behind Kingdom Come Deliverance. Take the critical feedback and share it and learn from it. As long as it's done in good faith and somebody's actually trying to fairly critique a game, their opinion hopefully is backed up by some sort of evidence that you can look at and either agree with or politely disagree with. And if you're able to do that, then at the very least, you'll be able to make some progress and move forward, or at least understand why some people are not connecting with your game and maybe grow from it. So I guess to wrap all this up, we can ask ourselves just a simple question. Is Starfield a better game than it was when it launched a year ago? Categorically, without a question, yes, it is a better game on almost every level than it was a year ago. They have directly addressed some of my chief concerns, such as the time between points of interest. Now, they still are pretty distant. It takes you a while to get between points of interest, but you can get there faster using the rover that I parked somewhere there that they initially did not intend to bring to the game, but they have added it based on player feedback, which is phenomenal, and I think they deserve credit for that. As much as we tease and laugh and light candles to Todd, they do deserve credit for that. Have they fixed performance issues? Have they fixed bugs and things like that? quite clearly know there's weird stuff here, but that could be because of like one of the mods or creations I have installed. It could be that just this new NVIDIA driver I just installed is having problems with Starfield. I don't know. Who can say? But what I do know is that some weapons like this one that we got as part of a paid DLC, which was not there at launch, still can't reload. Again, enhanced Jacob, that's the R key. I'm not trying to like be unfair here. It can't reload in first person view, but in third person view, for whatever reason, if I tap R, it will reload. So that is a paid mod that still is broken months after it launched. And I don't know how to explain that or justify it in my brain is fried. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I do think they've made some graphical enhancements. I think level of detail and the fog effect specifically has been enhanced since the game launched. And I think the game is actually pretty when things are loading in properly, which obviously they're not doing here. It's a little weird. I'm not sure what's going on, but that's pretty par for the course as far as Starfield is concerned. I will also mention that they have doubled down on the paid mods thing. In the interview with Maddie, Todd suggested that they were going to look at how they price these things, and they were listening to player feedback and all of that. And they technically speaking have, specifically by adding a lot more, and they've also introduced other paid quests such as this one, which is an escape. Trapped in a remote star station, you must solve puzzles and make unlikely allies to escape with untold riches and your life. Speak to a recruiter at the Astro Lounge to learn more. This one is $5. So they have reduced the price technically, and then I think this is the weapon reward you get for it. Who can say whether it reloads or not? I guess maybe that's a separate microtransaction you have to pay for. Okay, I'll stop. But the point is, that is something they've doubled down on. So it does seem like Starfield is their attempt at sort of a hybrid live service title where they're going to keep it alive for a long time, similar to like an Assassin's Creed Valhalla with a bunch of updates for years, at least probably two. I would guess probably more like three or four, because I think they're going to keep updating until they get to Elder Scrolls 6. But after that, who knows? But I think they're going to keep adding little quests and little things. Maybe we get full expansions like Shattered Space, which they've suggested we will. Maybe they'll adjust the plans based on how Shattered Space actually sells. I guess time will just tell. But when all is said and done, Starfield is a different game than it was a year ago. I think it's bigger. I think they've added a good amount of stuff to it. And, you know, some of it I really like the Rover, I think is a good addition. Other bits I don't like, such as the paid quests, which they had cut out of the base game and then they're just selling back to us, but broken now. You know, that stuff I don't like. And I don't know how Bethesda fans could support $7 quests with broken rewards. Like, it boggles my mind that anybody would just pretend as though everything's hunky-dory when months after that quest launched, it's still broken, but like half. You can reload in third person, but not in first person. It's really stupid. I know some people are hoping maybe I'm going to bring up like concurrent player numbers on Steam or something, but that's always really tough to gauge because this is now an Xbox game. It's on Game Pass. A lot of people played through that. So I just frankly don't think that those numbers are very indicative of how Starfield is doing. I do think on any given day, there's usually about 10,000 people playing, which is a great number to have for any single player game a year after it launched. I think that's really, really good to see, and it shows that people are interested. But I do think there is a huge chunk of people that played Starfield and were frustrated with the final product, and I hope that the Shattered Space DLC excites people and gets them interested again, and I hope it's good, first and foremost. Because I think the biggest thing that was missing from the base game of Starfield, oh damn it, no spoilers, I'll drive over here. I think compelling stories and narratives were definitely painfully absent. And getting some of those would be awesome. If this is like a Far Harbor DLC, like we had for Fallout 4, it's just like a really good narrative DLC, I'd be all for it. And I would happily praise it as a must-buy for anybody who has Starfield. I really hope that's what it is, and it's not just like more of the same, but time will tell. I will bet you a Todd Howard candle I probably will not have the chance to review that before it launches, just based on my understanding of how they handled my previous critiques of the game, but I would love to be surprised. I mean, let's be honest, nobody expected me to get a review code for Starfield, and I still managed to pull that out somehow, so who knows? Maybe we will get a review code for the DLC. I don't know. I don't care either which way. I'll still cover it, so you can't get rid of me that easy. You've seen me. I've bought your paid mods, your broken paid mods. There's nothing I won't do to talk about Starfield. But here's the deal. After all this time, this video still has all of that many views. I don't know how many views it has when you're seeing this, but chances are it's a surprising number considering this game for a lot of people was a bit disappointing and came out a year ago. And that shows there are still people interested, which is crucial. Games like Dustborn, for example, die a quick and painful death because nobody cares. Nobody gives a crap, and they just move on and forget about it. It's in one ear, out the other, it's just gone. With Starfield, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that are waiting for something to pull them back in because they got a taste of it. They like the idea of Starfield, but they just haven't found that thing that's going to keep them hooked the way Fallout has them hooked for years and years and years, or the Elder Scrolls where they go back and play Skyrim for a decade plus. Mods will certainly help with that, but even modders have in large part left Starfield behind because they found it kind of underwhelming and boring to mod for just based on the tool set that they had available. And as a result, a lot of those very, very talented mod teams have gone back to modding for games like Fallout 4, which of course recently got the Fallout London expansion, which is a free mod that is the size of a whole Fallout game. It's ridiculously huge and free. And if Starfield can manage to pull off some sort of, I don't even know if redemption arc is the right term for it, but if they can pull off some sort of arc that gets people excited again, maybe with a big expansion that's really good, maybe, just maybe, they can start to win people back and perhaps most importantly win modders over so that they can start creating more content that's going to keep people engaged for years and years to come, because Bethesda games do not succeed solely on the backs of those at BGS. They succeed, I would argue, mostly based on the hard work of modders and members of the community. And so long as those people are disenfranchised and uninterested, Starfield will never reach the greatness and the heights that they had initially hoped for it. They need the community to be on board, and that community needs to be supported, and I think they need to be convinced that Bethesda is willing to make serious changes and improvements that might be hard or might require admitting they were wrong. But something like the Rover, in my opinion, is a great first step in that direction because they didn't mean to have this at first and they've added it since. Is it the cleanest implementation of a Rover? Probably not. I mean, I think other things in other games like Mass Effect have perhaps been a little bit more, I don't know, grounded in terms of how they control and move and stuff. But I do think that this actually is a great first step, and I hope that this big expansion is another one that is going to leave us all very, very excited and intrigued. But time will tell. But with that, I think I'll end the video because I'm starting to lose my voice. Thank you for watching. Like I said, subscribe because I've got lots more content coming, not just the DLC for Starfield, but also a lot of coverage on Dragon Age: The Veilguard, because like I said, I got to play a lot of it and I will be allowed to talk about it on the 19th. So make sure to subscribe to get notified when that video goes up. And also make sure to like the video. Otherwise, I'll make you play Starfield with no mods and no patches. And also I will force you to only explore barren planets looking for points of interest that are just not there. So better subscribe. Anyway, that's gonna do it for me. Thanks for watching. I love you all. I'm bad at outros, as you can probably tell. I'll see you soon. Bye.